Catechism question this week is, which is the eighth commandment? The answer is, the eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. We're going to be thinking about and hearing about what the commandment requires and what the commandment forbids in the next two lessons. So in this lesson, we just think about its place among the Ten Commandments. We, of course, had the first four commandments, which all are about God being God. God being our creator, God being our king, God being our lawgiver, God being our judge, God being our pleasure. But especially God being alone worthy of worship, first commandment. Alone definer of worship, second commandment. The one whose worth determines not just what we do in worship as it is defined by him in the second, but also the manner in which we do those things, third commandment, reverence, and then the timing of worship, including and especially the Lord's Day, fourth commandment, but also those other set times that he has given, morning and evening, and so forth throughout our lives, and that we are not the determiners of a worship calendar, etc. Fourth commandment. So the first four commandments are all about God being God, and especially the worship of God. And then the last six commandments are about God being God in all of our life, in all of our relationships, in all of our pleasures, and what we do with our possessions, and what comes out of our mouths and what comes out of our hearts. That takes us to the fifth commandment, that God has given us to live, first and foremost under his authority, but that he communicates that by establishing authorities in the home, in the society, and in the church, and that he gives each of us roles that are either in authority or under authority or as equals. And we recognize the authority of God and the dignity of others and the purpose for which the Lord has appointed these things in how we fulfill our roles. And then gets very specific in the sixth commandment, the specific and high dignity of every man being made in the image of God, therefore respecting human life in a way that is above how we respect anything else in the creation, because man alone is made in the image of God, and the love that is required for our neighbor, and therefore, etc. And in the seventh commandment, there's a little bit of an extension of the image of God, because male and female, he created them in his image, and marriage is therefore closely connected to the image of God. But marriage also, he has designed to be pleasurable with the greatest pleasure in the earth. Not just the physical pleasure that is in marriage, but when you try to have that without the greatest pleasure, the pleasure of being united to a person in a covenantal way, that God has given us to image Christ's union with his church, and plurality and oneness in a relationship that echoes even the plurality and oneness in the triune God. When you try to extract the pleasure of romance or physical pleasure or even the pleasure of commonality without apart from that one man and one woman covenant, you see how failing to enjoy God in all of our in all of our pleasures is a failure to enjoy the created thing. That which applies to marriage supremely applies to all other things. So that takes us to the seventh commandment, and we could go back and think about those lessons the last few weeks. But now this one, the eighth commandment, moves from pleasures to possessions. And it's a similar thing, that the manner of obtaining possessions is given by God, And there are many good ways to obtain possessions, and we'll be thinking about that in what the Seventh Commandment requires and what the Seventh Commandment forbids, the manner of obtaining possessions, and then respecting those possessions then, respecting our possessions as given by God. There's the stewardship idea, respecting others' possessions as given by God, and not only not stealing, but wanting to live and act and manage that which we have in a way that doesn't harm the possessions of our neighbors. But the view of all things as being given by God and assigned by God, and therefore, you know, whether it's working hard or being productive, doing something that is useful to your fellow man, showing charity, receiving kindness or generosity, storing up an inheritance for your children, you know, the transgenerational generosity, receiving inheritance from your parents, the largesse of a king who may distribute from the royal bounty in imitation of God. And of course, there's questions about that aren't really in the scope of this particular lesson. But just remembering that God is the one who gives and assigns property in his providence. And that is the next thing. We move from positions in the Fifth Commandment to persons in the Sixth Commandment, to pleasures in the Seventh Commandment, to property in the Eighth Commandment. I have two weeks to figure out two more P words for what we do with our mouth and what we do with our heart. But now you can really see how the Ten Commandments fit together, that it all comes out of who God is. And four commandments for worship. You know, how much of our life must worship be? You have four commandments for worship. We have the persons, positions, persons, pleasures, and now property, and then that which comes out of your mouth and that which goes on in your heart, very specifically, Ninth Commandment and Tenth Commandment. So that's where the Eighth Commandment is and how it fits into the law of God. And you can see then, as we've kind of gone through the scope to place the Eighth Commandment and the significance of how we obtain property and what we do with property and how we respect others' property within the whole scope of who God is, who we are, how we're created, how we respond to Him in the life. It's an important thing because it's been designed to be an important part of our life by God. So which of the Eighth Commandment is, thou shalt not steal?